Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And I pray so much that it is food for you, that it does strengthen you. God wants to feed us. The Word is living. His Word is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word itself can change your life only because Jesus has given it to us. That's what we want to do. We want to do His will, His way. And that's very hard sometimes. But brothers and sisters, the more that we do that, the more we will find a great peace. And the Lord has given us His mother, His own mother, this feast day of hers, Our Lady of the Rosary. I do know that I pray the rosary every day. And a lot of them are prayers for you, for all those who listen to this program. Brothers and sisters, He gave us His mother to show us the way. Please, just go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to draw closer to You. Teach me how to pray. Help me. And then just read the scriptures and ask God to lead you. He will do it. Be patient. You could read for a year and not feel like you've learned very much. But at a certain time, the light, so to speak, will come on. Now, you know, in a certain way, I believe that that's Our Lady who's praying for us constantly. Praying for us that we might see her son's face and come into her company. She prays for us all the time. Please join with her and pray the rosary daily. The first reading today is from the book of Galatians, St. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, and then 7 to 14. Brothers and sisters, this is Paul now, St. Paul. Brothers and sisters, after 14 years, I again went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. I went up in accord with a revelation, and I presented to them the gospel that I preached to the Gentiles, but privately to those of repute, so that I might not be running or have run in vain. So he's bringing the gospel to his friends, close friends, and asking them to test him in a certain sense. Am I doing what is right? And he said, I might not be running or have run in vain. He wanted to know whether he was on the right track. And he says, on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter to the circumcised. For the one who worked in Peter for an apostolate to the circumcised worked also in me for the Gentiles. And when they recognized the grace bestowed upon me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas their right hands in partnership that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only we were to be mindful of the poor, which is the very thing I was eager to do. And when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he clearly was wrong. For until some people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to draw back and separated himself because he was afraid of the circumcised. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not on the right road in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of all, if you, though a Jew, are living like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Now we have brotherly correction. Let's get this straight. Let's get this clear. It took time, brothers and sisters, to seek the truth and to preach only the truth, to preach what God had given us. The Gospels are not, you know, the thoughts of other people. They're God's word. They're God's word. Read it, saying to yourself, God gave me this word. This word can teach me, can lead me, can comfort me, can counsel me, can give me direction that I don't go down the wrong road. That's the power of the gospel, and that's what we want, brothers and sisters, all of us. Go out to all the world, Psalm 17 says, and tell the good news. We want to be whoever we are, not just the priests, but we ourselves, the people, the civilians, so to speak. We are God's people, and we need to know the scriptures better and better so that we too, in turn, can help those who are confused or unbelieving or in doubt. Brothers and sisters, please pay attention to the Word of God. Read it daily if you can. Psalms 117 tells us, go out to all the world and tell the good news. How are you going to be able to do that unless you read it, unless you learn it? Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. For steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. This is not just a something new idea brought in to the Catholic Church. This is the gospel. This is the epistles. This is the story of the Lord and his work in our midst and bringing us to salvation. We should treasure it. Very, very often when I pick up the Bible before I even open it, and I don't do this in some big gesture, just simply I kiss the book because it's God's word. And I want that word to become mine. And you want that word to become yours. And the more you read it, the more help you will receive. Believe me. The Gospel of Luke, today, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. Praise be your name. Honored be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom, not mine. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. What we need for today, help us, Lord. Or how can we be helpful to others that they receive their daily bread? Primarily, he's speaking here about the Word of God, but even human food we need. Are we helping others? Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, not mine. Not my idea of what'll be great, but what is God's idea? What is God proclaiming to us? Give us each day our daily bread. You notice that? It isn't give me enough food for the rest of my life, but it's the word of God. Give us this day our daily bread, the Eucharist, the word of God. That's what we live by. It's what I live by. I like a good steak now and then. I like good food. But really, brothers and sisters, it's the word of the Lord that's alive. It's the word of the Lord that has power to touch us, to help us, to confirm us in the truth. That's what we want. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Have you gone to confession recently? That's what Jesus has provided for us, so that we can receive certain human counsel, But the great thing is that we will be forgiven. Our sins are wiped away. We don't have to carry them again. Even if we sin again, go back to confession. Not like it's automatic, but think that God forgives us our sin. He forgives us again and again and again. He forgives us. Even if we commit the same sin over and over again, He forgives us. Forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. Do not subject us to the final test. No, there are days and times when I've pondered my own death. This is not morbid, don't worry. But I ponder my own death when I will stand before the Lord. Is there anything in me that I regret? Is there anything in me that I haven't asked forgiveness for? The point is that if you do ask forgiveness, it's given. It's not that you have to go through a whole whatever terrible time or something to receive forgiveness. It's given you. That's the mercy of God. And God sees everything. He sees what you say and what you do. He hears you, and He loves us. Brothers and sisters, perhaps I told you this once before, but when I was a small child, I was probably 6 or 7, and I was walking in a store with my mother, and I reached over the counter where the little glass shelves were, and I grabbed a piece of candy. Do you remember my telling you that? But I've never forgotten that, because I tried to hide it. Tried to eat it in secret, but after a while it got too big, so I told my mother what I had done. My mother said, "Well, let's go to the store, and you go back to the man who's the manager there. You tell him you're sorry." So I did. I think I was just 5 or 6. It was the best confession I think I ever made. I went back to him, and he looked up at me. He was a member of our parish, too. He looked up at me, and he said, "What can I do for you?" And I said, "Would you please forgive me? I ate your candy." He said, "You did?" And I said, "Yes, yes, I did." He must have laughed a lot, but I know I was forgiven, and I never did it again. Brothers and sisters, let's learn to forgive others. Please don't hold grudges. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Come to the Lord. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Come to the Lord. Ask Him for mercy, and He will take away your sin. I just pray that God would touch your hearts, even if you've been away from the church for 20 years, 30 years. Come back. Please come back. Please come back and go to the Lord and say, "Lord, forgive me for all my sins. My sins, I don't even remember all I've done. Will you please forgive me?" If you remember them, please say them. You're responsible for that. But if you don't, ask His forgiveness. He will bless you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.